Somebody gave me a ring. He said, the Lord told me to give you this ring. So in honor of him, I wore it. I'm praying for people that day. And this lady comes up. She is this beautiful Mexican lady. But she lately, like the past 6 months, she always had her hair over the side of her face. And I'm like, you know, I wonder if somebody's beating her up or something. And I said, hey, you're such a beautiful woman. Why do you have your hair over your face? Is somebody hurting you? And she's speaking in Spanish. And she said, no, I have a good husband. Does something terrible. And she instantly starts crying. She pulls back her hair and she has got this cancerous place on her face. And she said, it's growing and growing and it's terrible. And I'm afraid to go to the doctor. And I said, well, you need to let me pray for you. And she said, yeah, please pray for me. And I put my hand on top of her head and I started praying for her. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, you need to reach into her hair and you need to put your hand upon that thing. I placed it inside her hair and I put my hand on it. And as soon as I did, she jerked. And that cancerous place got stuck on that ring. And it ripped right off of her face and it was in my hand.
Well, one of the really cool things that goes with that is that, yeah, it's true that that cancer fell off in my hand, but it's also true, man, she didn't have a hole in her face and it was so miraculous. It was like a meatball or something. It was like, ooh, it was gross. I dropped it and she's like, Gloria Dios, Gloria Dios. And she's freaking out. I actually had everybody at the food bank that day come out and put their foot on that. And we declared that place a cancer-free zone. And we're still going after that today. Hello, everybody. Hello, my friends. I bless you and call you guys blessed in Jesus' name. Welcome, guys, to episode 79 of this year's edition of The Pulse. Coming at you strong here from the podcast studios of Open Door Church. And, guys, we got a great show for you today. I'm actually going to be joined with my bride, Leanna Brewer, who I'm just going to go ahead and just tell you she's already here. How are you, sweetie? Yeah, you are so good. Now, what a big day we've had today.
I know. It's been busy, but it's been good.
It has been busy. It has been good. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. Man, we're seeing God do great big things.
So you and got he's in a good mood.
I noticed your hair looks absolutely stunning and perfect today.
Thank you. I went and got it done.
You went and got your hair done, dear.
I did.
I think you told me you were going to do that this morning when you left.
Yes,
did you tell
I
me?
Did.
But I forgot that.
And I was just still on time.
And you're still, which, what the heck, man? Way to go. We had an incredible pastor's meeting, didn't we?
We did. It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, friends, I'm going to be telling you more about that here in a few minutes. Leanna and I are going to be sharing stories from 30 years of pastoring Open Door Church. And we're going to give place to questions and answers. We're going to be talking about our favorite miracles. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes. And once we go behind the veil, we're going to tell you some things that we cannot tell everybody publicly. And we're also going to be answering questions as well. But I'll tell you what, if we can't tell it publicly, because, man, it seems like we tell everything publicly, but we actually don't. So that's exclusively to all of my Stage 2 and all of my Stage 3 partners, like the 6 new Lifetime partners that just shined up this last week. Come on, guys, 6 new Lifetime partners. Are you kidding me?
That's awesome.
That is absolutely craziness. And then we have another Stage 2 partner, Teresa from Washington, actually joined us. Hey, Teresa, thank you so much for that. And we also have 4 new Stage 3 partners, three of them, all of them from Texas, except for Bobby, who's in Tennessee, and Thad and Tammy and Alex here in the great free state of Texas. Hey, guys, welcome. Thank you so much. Before we go any further, I got to tell you guys this, that, man, we have something special coming up for our Stage 2 and Stage 3 and Lifetime partners at ODX. And it is going to be a hootenanny. Joining me here, directly across from me, is my good friend, Miss Shay Wilbur. How are you?
Hey, Pastor. I'm excited. There is so much coming up that people just need to get ready for, because I feel like we're bursting at the seams here in many different ways. God is moving. But we also have just some incredible events coming up over the next 6 months that people are not going to want to miss.
Well, you want to help me with all that?
Yeah. Okay, so first up, we have ODX Weekend. Guys, if you are an ODX member, or if you're not, now is your chance to sign up and be a member, because we're having what we call our ODX Weekend. That's happening on November 15th. But this is not just any ODX Weekend, right, Pastor? This is our premiere of The Counter, our brand new show. And everyone at ODX Weekend, only those people there, will be able to view the premiere episode. And this is all happening on November 15th. But here's the deal. This is not an open to the public thing where just anyone can come.
That's right.
It's first come, first serve, number one. And you have to be a member of our ODX community. Now, if you're a lifetime member, you're going to be the first on the invitation list. Yep. And you'll be hearing from our team. Then the invites go to our stage three members and then our stage two members. So space is limited. Yep. And if you see that email in your inbox, which you should be seeing very, very soon. If you haven't seen it yet, be on the lookout for that. And I would just encourage you to sign up because not only are you going to be there, Pastor Troy, yeah, and we're going to give people like the whole tour of the place here. We have Joseph Z, Alan DiDio, Tony Merkel, Brian Schwartz, Darren Stott. The whole crew is going to be here from the counter.
And Todd Coconato,
who's going to host like a Q&A time. So yep. This is going to be epic, and you do not want to miss it.
Yeah, we're actually going to eat together. I'm going to provide a meal for everybody that shows up because we are going to spend the morning reaching out and giving away more than 100,000 pounds of food.
Yes.
To over, 4,000 people. And then we're all going to come back here to the church. We're all going to eat together. And then we're actually going to premiere our first two episodes. Mm-hmm. And then we're all going to be fielding questions from the crowd. So it's literally come out and spend the day with us. Come out and spend the day with us. And in order to qualify for that, man, you have to be a member of the ODX family, stage two, stage three, or a lifetime member. And the tickets are going to go fast. So how do people get their tickets to that?
So they will get an invitation from us in their email inbox.
Okay. And
so
how much do those tickets cost?
I don't know offhand. Is it free?
Yeah, it's free.
Okay. That's what I thought. That was what I was going to say. But then you made me second guess because
I was
like,
it's zero.
Is it? Okay.
It's
$0, you guys. Sorry, my hair is also looking a little crazy today. I don't know what's happening.
What is happening?
I got some flyaways up there.
What is happening?
I don't know. I didn't have a hair team.
Hey, does anybody have any shampoo?
Some hairspray. I need to wash it. It actually is clean, which is why it's sticking up like that. Normally, my hair is not.
It's staticky in here. Leanna's got things sticking up too.
I'm flying away.
It's staticky. Come on.
We're flying away.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Hank Williams wrote that song, by the way. Fly Away.
Yeah. It was a good song.
Yeah, everybody knows him for all of his country music, but he actually wrote that song.
Wow.
Hank Williams. Go Hank, man. We bless you in Jesus' name.
Yeah. And hey, while we're talking about events, also New Beginnings Conference is around the corner.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale for that as well. So if you're planning into your January, go to odx.tv, click on events, get your tickets to that. Our Heart of David Conference is going to be incredible. You're going to be releasing your word for the year. This is our, our prophetic moment in this house for the new year. And you see, that's our Heart of David graphic.
It's the biggest conference we do all year. Yep.
And we also have our Heart of David calendar that is now available for the new year on our website. It's $25. It's got all the Jewish holidays. It has heavenly happenings to be aware of. So check this out as well and make sure you pick that up.
Okay. I love the back of that. Show everybody the back of it. That is the back of it right there, the counter. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's cut to one of our commercials for the counter so that people will be excited about coming here for the ODX weekend.
Yes.
Guys, hey, friends, listen, y'all watch this.
We have spent two full days filming here, guys, and now we're going to begin the editing process. But the unedited version, guys, is going to be camped out at odx.tv. Nations going against nations.
What we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now.
It's this hopeful expectation.
But something charging directly at us.
Anytime the name of Jesus was mentioned, these beings would flee in terror.
Bell worship, sex magic, human trafficking, pornography. It's actually all a part of the very same things. And friends, we are not afraid to talk about it.
And we still fail to show you the awesome pose at the end.
And
I say every time we show a video, I'm like, where's the cool pose? I want you guys to take off all the endings of those things and make sure to the cool pose.
The cool pose.
It is the come watch
us.
It's that, man. You got to see it. It's just a very big part of it. So you guys come out and be a part of that. And we will. Next time we show that video, I'm going to show you the one with the cool pose. And we'll make sure that all of them have that in there because it's just too awesome. What I'm hoping is, too, if I put all that upon our social media, that you'll actually share that because the way that that's going to work is the first 30 minutes of the counter program is going to be free on our YouTube channel. It's exclusive to the Troy Brewer YouTube channel. But then if you want to watch all of it in its entirety, the full hour sum odd, that it's uncut. You have to watch that on ODX at Stage 2, Stage 3, and also exclusive for our Lifetime members. So I see that there's a bunch of people here with us today.
Yes, sir. We've got Robin Day. Shout out to you from Arizona. Hello, Jennifer Wyatt from California, Cheryl from Michigan, Dawn from Tennessee. But I see people are still joining us from all over the world. We usually see Africa in here. Pastor Gary McGibbons usually joins us from Ireland. So sometimes it takes a couple minutes for people to trickle in. But we've got, I mean, we have people that join us that tune in. Our Pulse family is truly global.
Yeah, so we always have, before this is over with, we will have people that is from New Zealand. We will have Australia in the house. We will have South Africa in the house. We will have Uganda in the house. We will have Argentina in the house. We have Mexico in the house. These are all our regular ODX family. Mm-hmm. And there's all the guys, there's people, of course, Uganda. I think I'm already said Uganda, but all of our friends in India will be joining us. Our friends in Israel will be joining us. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the family. This is our tribe. This is our community. And this is who we are. So I bless you guys. I call you guys blessed. So do the thing, smash the buttons. Everybody say hello to me. Everybody say hello, Troy and Leanna. Just go ahead and type that up right now. That helps Paraguay. All the algorithms just go up. Paraguay is here.
Paraguay, wow.
Come on, Monica. Man, we bless you. Father God, sir, bless our sister in Paraguay. And God, we call them blessed in the name of King Jesus. God, let this be a day, a breakthrough for her and for her great nation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Maryland. We love Maryland.
Yeah, man, we do love Maryland.
That's beautiful.
We do. And I'm not just talking about Monroe. I'm talking about the actual the actual place that we go to where Washington, D.C. is. Well, that's exactly right.
Taylor, we need to cut to Pastor Leanna whenever she makes a face at Pastor Troy on this show.
So, whatever. Okay, well, you about ready to jump off into this, man? You want to do this?
Jump. Let's do it.
So what are we doing?
Okay, so listen, if you have been a part of our family, you've been following our social media or anything really, this whole month we've been celebrating 30 years of Open Door Church. Now, you guys have been in ministry much longer than that. So that's why we specify 30 years of Open Door Church, 35 years of the food bank. And this past Sunday, guys, if you missed it, the two of you were just up on stage reliving some of your favorite miracles, some of your favorite pillar moments. And as you lovingly look into each other's eyes, I'm glad we have the table in here so you guys can keep your hands off each other for the next hour.
She cannot contain herself. Poor Leanna. Oh, I feel so sorry for her. She's so smitten with me.
I am.
I mean, she can't even think right when she's around me.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, listen. I would love for you to kind of bring us all along with you as you relive some of your favorite moments and miracles over the past 30 years.
All right, well, I can do this. So let me just say it has been a ministry of miracles. It's listen, I promise this has been a ministry of miracles. It continues to be a ministry of miracles today. So I want to say, first of all, the very first bull out of the chute. At the time, right before I was working, but right before we started Open Door Church, I was a repo man for Remco. All right? And you remember all that?
Oh, I remember it. Yes, I do.
And so I was a repo man for Remco, and I was working in the projects in Fort Worth. There were six projects at that time. They've since moved all the project people out to the suburbs. That's what they've done now. But at that time, there were actually locations. There was actually locations. And I had six projects, and my job was to repossess televisions, refrigerators, washing machines, stereos, and those kinds of things. Well, I want to tell you, it was hairy. It was a hairy job. And I was always getting in fights and always getting guns pulled on me and all those kinds of things. But Leanna had this really cool thing. And one of the things that me and Leanna did, if I repoed your refrigerator in the morning, which I'd always bust them in the morning time is when I'd bust them because, you know, everybody slept late and nobody had jobs. And so I would get there, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, they come to the door in their drawers. And I say, hey, I'm here in the name of Remco. I'm here to get your refrigerator. And dude, that's when the assault would start. And I'd go in there with the dolly, take all their food out. And while they're yelling and screaming and hollering and calling their aunts and their cousins over and all these kinds of things, and then I would unplug it, and then I'd wheel it out. I would get spit on. I got called every racist name. I'm talking about the worst racist things you can possibly imagine in front of little bitty kids, and the kids call me those names. and then get spit on. Hope I didn't get stabbed to death or something.
Yes,
get out there. It was dangerous. It was a dangerous job. Mm-hmm. And I'd load it up by myself and then drive out. What I would do, though, is because on Saturdays I got off work like at 12 o'clock and we worked 80-hour weeks. Okay, so I worked an 80-hour week every single week. And then I would call Leanna, and me and Leanna would go down to Hemp Hill Street and we would buy a repoed, refurbished refrigerator. And then we would That's show cool. back up that night and they'd go, "What you want, white boy?" And they'd start yelling and screaming and hollering at me. And all I'd say, "You know what? I was here in the name of Remco this morning, but I'm here in the name of Jesus this evening." And then say, "This one's paid off. Me and my wife bought wow. this for you." And what it did was I was able to build a relationship in all of those projects. And me and Leanna started doing kids' church in those projects. We started doing baptisms. We started doing huge kids' events. And those people loved me. And those people loved mm-hmm. Leanna because they would truly repent. Like, after I called you all that, after all that, you're kind of like, "Look, I was here in the name of my job this morning, but I'm here now in the name of the kingdom." And they'd be like, "Whoa." And they're like, "Are you a pastor?" And I'd say, "Yes." Even before I was a pastor, mm-hmm. I would say, "Yes." And I'd say, "Me and Leanna want to come back here this Sunday. We want to do a big food outreach and we want to do kids. We want to do a kids camp with all the kids here." And that's wow. what we did. And that was, we truly saw revival, didn't we?
We sure did. And we saw so many kids' lives transformed and wow. getting to see those kids now as adults.
Yeah. Yeah. It was truly miraculous. I'm talking about, it wasn't normal.
And you guys weren't like super rich at that time either,
oh,
right?
We were so poor.
Which I think that's really cool for people to know that like you weren't doing this out of the abundance of like rolling in all this extra money that you had to give.
No.
But you truly were giving and sowing into people when you barely had enough.
Yeah, it's not about having enough. It's about being obedient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just got back from Africa and that's one of the things I was talking to my kids about, that are grown now. And I said, "You know, you have this idea that because we live in America, because, you know, we do drive nice cars and we have a nice house. We haven't always, but we do now."
Oh, well, we do now.
We do now. we had some pretty bad clunkers, but we've always worked 2 and 3 jobs. Both of us have. And to this day, we still do several
yeah,
different
do
jobs.
Yeah.
And it's just what we do to be able to do what we do. And that is something now I'm instilling into the kids that we have grown, that we have raised. You don't just get to glide. Mm-hmm. You actually have to work, and you have to work multiple jobs to be able to do the ministry that God's called you to. It's not free.
Yeah.
When God's called you to ministry, He provides for you, but He provides for you by opening doors of opportunity mm-hmm. for you to have income streams to be able to do these things. And we can do more now because we have more now. But we did what we could when we had it.
It was crazy. Well, actually, baby, when I look back on it, I just think, number one, it made so much sense to us then. But, I mean, we didn't learn that from anybody. We'd never seen anybody do that kind of stuff. And everybody thought we were nuts. Everybody thought I was nuts for having the job. But the job actually paid pretty good.
It did. It did. And, it took care of us.
And it did. It did take care of us. And also, too, I was young and edgy, and I liked confrontational things back then, and I just thought it was cool. Plus, I had never even had neighbors yeah. in my entire life. I'd never, much less get to stomp around in the ghettos of Forest. Yeah. I'm talking about next level ghetto, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
And you went there because that's where I lived.
Yeah, exactly right. Wow. Now, Leanna had always lived in the ghetto.
You first started coming there, and you're like, "You live here?" And I was like, "This is not where everybody lives." And then I went to where you live and I went, "What the heck? People live like this?"
Wow. So yeah, it was exactly the opposite. Yeah. So I thought Leanna was like this real rich girl because, man, she dressed so nice. She handled herself so well. She was so polite. She did everything right. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, she's a rich girl." And then I went to her ghetto crack house she lived in.
Wow.
And it was like crack house, crack house, crack house, Leanna's house, crack house, crack house, crack house.
Wow.
And I'm not making that up. I mean, it was like, it was crazy. And I was literally scared. I was like, "Oh my God, you could get killed out here. Like, there's gangs walking the streets." She grew up on the north side. She lived in East LA before that. Yeah. And then she moved there to the north side of Fort Worth. And I mean, Leanna and her siblings were the only white people anywhere around there. Wow. And I mean, at their school, they were the only white kids and yada, yada, yada. She just grew up like that. She was always the minority, always. And wow. then her house was filled with, and her house was tiny. I bet it wasn't even 1,000 square feet. Mm-mm. And it was, wow. and it was 3 bedrooms. And you had, there's 5 of you biological siblings. And I think that at the time that I met you, you guys had 9 other kids living in the house.
I'm sure we did.
I think, wow. I think that y'all had 9, yeah. including that beautiful little girl. I think her name was Jeanette.
Yeah. Net-Net. Mm-hmm.
Net-Net. See, I was 19 and I still remember that little girl's name.
Wow.
Yep. And she was like your baby.
She was my baby.
And it was like, she was this beautiful, beautiful little black girl. And she loved Leanna. Oh my God. Yep. She loved Leanna. And she was just a baby. And I mean, she was walking around, but she's little.
Yeah. She was a little bitty thing.
But y'all got her when she was just a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. We
because
did.
Her mom and dad were, you know, CPS people and they actually worked for, help me out.
They worked for Child Protective Services.
Yeah, but what do you call that?
They were foster parents.
Oh, foster parents, yeah.
They were foster parents. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
And they were foster parents, and they had always raised kids. Leanna's mom and dad raised over 300 kids in the foster care system.
Crazy.
Over a period of about 50 years.
Wow.
And Leanna grew up in that. I mean, she was one of the biologicals, but she grew up with that, always having 3 or 4 kids living in her tiny bedroom. Tiny. Barely big enough for a queen size bed, and everybody slept in the same bed. And I remember the very first time that I ever got Leanna a dress, which I love to buy Leanna clothes, you know, and I always did. I always loved to buy her clothes, and I wanted her to dress her best and all the things because that was really important to Leanna. So I got her a dress, and then I came on Sunday to pick her up, you know, take her to church. And one of the foster girls, another teenage girl, was wearing her dress and was walking down the street. And I told Leanna, that girl stole your dress, man. She goes, no, we have to share our clothes, Troy. Everybody doesn't have nice clothes.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, who is this? So then you thought I was hillbilly poor because of how I dressed and how I carried myself.
That's hilarious. Because you were hard to understand.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what language do you speak?
My accent 40 years ago.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was definitely hick, hillbilly. And
though I
grew up
the
very
world
poor,
since.
I grew up in this city. Mm-hmm. And so I understood slang just fine. I just didn't understand country very well.
Oh man, I was a hillbilly. I really was.
Yeah, no.
Now I'm refined and cultured.
Now. Oh, you're very refined.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes. I'm quite the cosmopolitan.
Yes,
I promise you.
You are.
I want to tell you, if I was 19, look at me now, I would hate this guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like
oh,
that.
Oh, you
guy.
Would make fun of you.
I would totally
sure.
make fun of me. Oh, Mr. Hoity Toity educated boy, who are you? I would have made fun of me as a teenager. Like, who is that clown? Like, you got a Yankee accent now, Troy Brewer, or whatever. But no, I was a hillbilly, man. I was.
Wow.
So you thought I was this hillbilly. And plus, too, man, my truck I drove, and it always ran a Ned Pepper. It always ran out of oil because I had a huge oil leak. And every time I filled up with gas, I had to fill it up with oil and all that kind of stuff. And then you came to my house, and what was that like?
Well, I was wondering whose house I was like, what are we doing at this person's house? Yeah, it was not anything like what I expected.
So,
he lived in a huge 2-story house on a lot of land, and it was a beautiful new home, and they had nice cars, and big house. Everybody had their own bathroom. We had one bathroom in our house.
Wow.
The whole time I grew up, we had one bathroom.
Can you imagine the epic battles for the bathroom they had?
So,
all those teenage
girls? Going to
his
house, you know,
think.
It was like 4 bathrooms. I was like,
those teenage boys go in there and spend 45 minutes to stink up the whole house and everybody mad at them and just the whole thing. It was a tiny bathroom.
Wow.
Tiny. And everybody had to take a shower and a bath in there. And everybody had, I mean, everybody did. And they just did it.
But when you grow up like that, you don't know different.
You don't.
And so I never thought about it. About it until I went to his house and I went, wow. And his mom was such an incredible cook. And I was like, oh, it's not like frozen food or food made for mass groups of people. This is actually like really good food. And so I was very surprised.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised because the only thing that Leanna had grown up eating her entire life was frozen food, and it was government frozen food. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, like The only good thing that they had in it was that old government cheese that was so good.
That was
those
good
big
cheese,
blocks
dude.
Of government cheese. That was actually good.
That was good cheese.
What?
But she didn't, yeah. So the big government cheese blocks were good. But I mean, like, it was government frozen food. That was what they lived off of. And so nobody there cooked. They just heated things up.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, I'm going to take you to eat a real chicken fried steak. Do you remember that?
I did. I had no idea what a real chicken fried steak was.
And the best chicken fried steak you'd ever had was at Grandy's. Do you remember Grandy's?
Hey, I liked Grandy's.
And so it was kind of a fast food place.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did have good rolls. And then I couldn't believe it. So I started just taking, and she didn't like nothing. She only liked really bad food.
Yeah, because that was familiar to you, though.
Yeah.
That was like all you knew.
So,
I liked good Mexican food. All my neighbors were Mexicans, and so
exactly right.
I would eat at my neighbors' houses because all their grandmas, their grandmas lived in their houses because all the family lived together.
Yeah.
And I ate some darn good food growing up.
Wow. Oh, well, in her opinion, she did. Now, mind you, with all of the Mexican families living around her, with her living in the ghetto that she lived in.
Yeah. I didn't eat good American food, but I had definitely had the best of Mexican food.
I can remember the first time I ever bought you a steak. I still remember it. And you wanted it burnt to a crisp. You kept sending it back. Cook it more, cook it more, cook it more. I was like, no, don't do that. And when it came back, basically at the consistency of a brick, you thought it was done. And then you still will not eat any form of fish or any form of seafood to this day.
No, I don't eat seafood.
Like nothing.
Mm-mm.
But you knew something about French food. Why did you know something about French food?
Because in high school, one of my friends, his parents were chefs at a really exclusive French restaurant. And I worked in the kitchen. I washed the dishes at this restaurant and, so I got to be in there and watch them cook, and people would come back, and it was a really nice, very small French restaurant. And so the people would come back and talk to the chef and just, you know, thank them and congratulate them and talk about how good the food was. So I learned to really appreciate good food, good French food for sure.
So we started off with French food,
yeah,
and we started trying to find French restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then we would find another kind. And so over the years, honest to God, all we've ever done is just explored the world together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I was a hillbilly. I'd never been anywhere. And she was a ghetto girl and she'd never been anywhere. And we were like, we have literally, at the same time that we've been exploring Jesus and exploring ministry, we've also just been exploring all the things in the world and all the things, you know, she and I are the ones who actually, you know, went after those things together. And
I love that.
It's been a crazy cool journey.
I love that.
It's ridiculous.
It is crazy to think. And even just to hear, like, as an outsider hearing how you guys began and the journey. And, you know, I just think of so many young people that are like today, and you hear this a lot with people my age and younger, like, oh, I want to experience life. I want to travel the world and then I'll settle down. But like, how cool is it that you had the opportunity? My husband and I did this similar because we got married young, and our approach has always just been like, let's explore the world together. And it's such a cool thing that God has used you. Mm-hmm. He's given you the opportunity to not only do that, but to bless other people, to give and to do ministry at the same time. That's really special.
Yeah, because it was all the same thing to us.
Yeah.
It really was.
It should be.
It was. And as you travel, you know, I was telling somebody that today I was talking to my hairdresser and telling her about Zanzibar, and she goes, oh, so you went for just a trip? And I said, I did. I went for my annual girls trip. We went away for 4 days and we're just going to have fun on the beach, but it turns into ministry because that's just who we are and it's what we do. And you can't help but minister because God brings you opportunities and you see things that you can't unsee. And you know that the Lord is saying, okay, you can be on vacation if you want, but you can also do this.
Wow.
So you need to know. Yeah. So she's doing her girls trip. So they leave Uganda and she's like, I want to go to Zanzibar. And it's like, okay, where do you want to go for God to bring you somebody to rescue?
Yeah.
It's like, just pick a place because the Lord will give us somebody to rescue. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a truth. Yeah. She's like, I've always wanted to go to Zanzibar, so let's go there. Didn't know a single person, ended up rescuing. How old is that girl you just got through rescuing?
I'm going to say she's in her mid-20s.
Yep.
Wow.
And so so she is literally
in Zanzibar. Yeah.
And this is somebody that worked at the place where Leanna was at.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's on her way to Uganda. And there's more to this story. We can't tell it all right now, but she's on her way to Uganda because we just know wherever we're at, it's mm-hmm. going to be an opportunity to be selfless. It's going to be an opportunity to rescue somebody. It's going to be an opportunity to set somebody's up life completely mm-hmm. differently. And you can just kind of, you know, stick a flag in the ground anywhere and just watch what Jesus does.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I love that you guys have been giving since before you had what many people would say, oh, you don't have enough yet, or I don't have enough to give. And I love that no matter what you guys had, you still had that heart of giving. And it's really set the tone and the culture for this entire house. And now you have a whole church and a global audience of givers and rescuers that you're raising up. So of all the years, and I haven't given them like any time to think about this, so I'm really putting you both on the spot, but I'm just curious, out of all the things that you've given away, what are some of your favorites when you think back over the years?
That's a great question. I actually love that question. Leanna gave away our wedding ring.
Wow.
One of my favorite things is one time we were in the trash dumps, and this is like a normal thing for us to do now, but whenever we first did this, it never occurred to anybody to do this. This guy, so I have, all the brewers have huge feet. Now don't tell that about my girls because they don't want anybody to know. Ooh, they got some. But with that said, man, they're like hobbits. Yeah. All my kids have giant feet. I think that Ben wears a size 15.
No
I think.
Way. Really?
It's a 14.
He wears a 14. And but we have extremely fat feet too. They're more like blocks than they are feet. And
so, well, you're sturdy. It's
I always okay. have to wear like
Sturm
a triple
foundation.
E.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
we all wear like triple E. And I used to say, I have feet made for an elephant. Mm-hmm. Well, we were in the trash dump and we took a whole bunch, like of 30, 40, 50 people with us, a huge mm-hmm. group. Back when our church was only about that big.
Yeah.
It was like the whole entire church went with us to Matamoros, Mexico. And we were feeding people in the dump there. And somebody came and got me. I'll tell you who it was. It was, what's his name? I'll think of his name here in a minute. Dadgummit, I can't believe I can't think of his name. Ronnie Moore. No, Ronnie Moore's brother.
Vincent
Moore. Vincent Moore went on that trip, him and his beautiful bride. And they came and got us and said, hey, you got to come meet this guy because this guy... Pastor, you just got to come meet him. And I went, okay. And I mean, we were feeding people and we were doing a thing. Well, I went over there to go see him. And this guy's in this wheelchair. Okay, Shay, the story goes, he was an assassin for the drug cartel, which the drug cartel owned the trash dump. And in the midst of a shootout, he got shot in the stomach. It went through his spine. It severed his spine.
Whoa.
And he was, from belly button down, he was completely paralyzed. So with the cartel being the good folks that they are, they put him in a wheelchair, wheeled him out to the middle of the dump, and put plastic over him so that that's where he would live during the rain, and said, here you go.
Wow.
Just dropped him off in the trash dump. And so he'd been there. Well, because he couldn't lift up his feet, he had drug his feet through that filth. And I'm talking about sister filth. And I mean, unspeakable filth. For one thing, there's millions of people that live in the Matamoros, Mexico area, and they don't flush their toilet paper. It all goes into the trash dump.
Oh my goodness.
So when you see all these little boys and these little girls that are playing and they're digging through the trash looking for something of value, they're digging through the filthy toilet paper of millions of people.
That is awful. Okay?
And so, no, it was bad. And so he had drug his feet for so long that... His feet, I'm telling you, were the most infected. They were slashed up. He would always pick up needles. He'd just pick up a needle because he's dragging his feet and he couldn't feel his feet. And so his feet were diseased and they were bad news. And so I went over there and I said, hey, man. And he's like, hey. And I said, why aren't you wearing any shoes? And he said, because I got feet like an elephant. As soon as he said feet like an elephant, I knew that my shoes would fit him. Because that was what I used to always say about my feet. Do you remember all that?
I do remember that. And I remember we had just gotten you those tennis shoes. And it was all we could do to afford those shoes because we had to go to a special store to get them wide enough. And they were very expensive. And that was huge for us. And I already wasn't happy with you wearing those shoes in the dump.
In the dump, yeah.
Because they were new and they were...
Wow.
They were so expensive. I mean, it was It was a miracle that we could afford the shoes.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was, we would get so filthy in those, and we would stink so bad that 9 times out of 10, when we get back to the hotel, we would take a shower with our clothes on, and we, Leanna and I, would just strip down, and we would leave our clothes on the floor of the, and we wouldn't pick them up again. We just bring extra clothes with us because they were so contaminated and so filthy.
All that filth.
And so I was wearing those nice shoes because I was a knucklehead boy. And man, I took off my shoes and I put them on his feet. And I told him, I said, brother, God loves you so much. He sent a dude with feet like an elephant to bring you these shoes. And I put them on and they fit him perfectly. Well, that night I was preaching at a church and I didn't have any shoes to wear because we were still in Mexico. And when I got up there, they're like, Prophet Troy is here and he's going to prophesy. And when the church saw that I was not wearing any shoes, they thought it was a prophetic sign. So they all took off their shoes in the church. I was like, yes, I didn't tell them anything different. And then
holy ground. We're standing on holy ground.
Mm-hmm. And then years later, I don't know, maybe how many years later do you think?
It was just a couple of years later. Are you talking about the truck?
No, I'm talking about us finding out what happened to that guy.
Oh yeah. That was several years later.
I want to say 6-7 years later, right? I was preaching in Matamoros and I bought a bunch of radio spots in Spanish saying, Troy Brewer is in town. Come and see him at Pastor Gina's Aguero's church and the whole nine yards. Well, afterwards, I used to always pray for every single person in the house. I didn't care if it took 3 hours. Everybody would line up. Poor Leanna and the kids would be over there, man, asleep. I'd still be praying for people. Mm-hmm. And I was praying for everybody. Got to the last guy in line, and he was wearing a suit, but it was all muddy. And I thought, this guy's homeless or something, you know. And so I kind of judged him. And plus, I was tired. And the guy, I get up there to him, and he says, Pastor Troy, I have to tell you a story. And he said, what? And he said, several years ago, you met my brother in a dump, and you put shoes on his feet.
That's crazy.
And I was like, yeah. And I said, I never knew his name. And he said, his name was Caesar.
Whoa. Yeah.
And I was like, I never asked him his name. I've wondered all these years what his name was. And his name was Caesar. And I said, what happened to him? He said, I got to tell you what happened to him. He said, not very long after you gave him those shoes, he contemplated his life. He gave his heart to the Lord. And he thought, if that guy prophesies, I can prophesy. And he started prophesying to everybody in the trash dump.
No way.
And then he became such a prophet and such a reliable prophet that people started coming into the trash dump and having him prophesy over him. So somebody came and paid the cartel off and yada, yada, yada. And he was able, and they allowed him to leave the thing. And he ended up living at his brother's house. And this was the brother, right? And he said, Troy, he said he would get up in the morning and he said he would fast and pray. And he said, like, this is like a typical day for him. He would say, a police officer is going to be here at around 11 o'clock and we have to offer to take care of his wife because she's sick. He'd say, okay. And his brother would write all these things down. Then he'd say, at 12 o'clock, there's going to be some teenage boys that are coming here and they're being recruited in the cartel and we have to tell them don't. And he said, those people would show up and he would already have a prophetic word for them. Do you remember all this?
Oh, I do.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, where is he? And he said, well, he died. And he just died.
Wow.
He had just died, having spent all those years in ministry. Having spent all of those years in ministry. And he said that whenever he died, his two most favorite things in the world that he had was his Bible and those two pairs of shoes.
That's crazy.
And he said, I have his shoes now.
Wow.
The shoes that I had given him.
That's cool.
And he said, I have his Bible and I have his shoes. And he said, I had to come across here and tell you. The reason why he was muddy is because he had to cross the river.
Wow. That's crazy. Pastor Leanna, you said on Sunday, you never know what your yes and your act of obedience before the Lord can lead to. And I feel like that's such an example of that. Like, it seemed in the moment, a small thing, Pastor, of the Lord just telling you, hey, take off your shoes, give him these shoes, and hear the legacy that act of obedience, then that ripple effect. And it's so cool. I feel like we've seen it time and time again. And it's like the thread that weaves all this together is just like a simple act of yes. You shared giving a doll on Sunday.
Yeah.
A really special story of that and how that, you know, so many people would have thought, okay, well, yeah, so you're giving a baby doll away. And that, but that, what that act of obedience meant in that moment was so special as well.
So many people think you have to have it figured out.
Yeah.
And when you think you have to have it figured out, you think you have the ability to do God's job.
Yeah.
We don't. We have the ability to say yes and partner with him. And I remember one time we had to have two cars because we worked in two different places and we lived nowhere. And we had four kids. And so we had two cars. And for the first time in my life, and again, we both worked two jobs, I had actually had the opportunity to buy a new car. Just a very basic, you know, $8,000 car, which back then was $10 million for us.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a big deal. And we were making payments and we were like real grown-ups at this time. And man, I was so excited to have this car. It was a Cavalier. Chevy Cavalier, and Troy's parents, his stepdad had worked there. And so he got us a really good deal. It was just a big deal to have a new car. And I had it for about a year. And again, Troy worked one place and I worked in another, and we both had to have cars. And we came across this lady that was in a very abusive situation and she needed out. And so we were helping her get out, and she had children, but she didn't have a car. And I remember Troy going, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we have two cars and we can just give her one of our cars. And we're both like, we don't know how we're going to do this because we live literally nowhere out in the middle of nowhere. And we have to go, but we did. And so we gave her our car. I remember the Lord telling us, give her your car. And
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. And so we did, we gave her our car. And then, you know, God just blessed us, but it, more than that, she was blessed. She was able to get out of a really bad situation. Mm-hmm. She was able to take care of her kids. And then throughout the years, there'd be other times, you know, we'd finally get another car. Usually they were old clunkers, but they were cars. They ran. And God would say, I want you to give it away. And we're like, God, you know.
We never traded a car in.
No, no. We always gave them away.
Have we ever that you know of traded a car in?
My very last one, I traded in.
Okay, that's right.
No, but it's taken many, many years.
Yeah, that's right. And we've always given away our cars. Always have. And so, yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, and we have, we've given several cars away. And that's always been a treasure. But for me, the thing that God has asked me and allowed me to be, to do that's been a little bit of a hard time is to give my Bibles away. I will get a favorite Bible that I will write in.
Cool. Yeah.
And it'll be like, I actually get this one and it's sentimental and it's important to me and it's special. And the Lord said, I want you to give that away. And you're like, I can buy them a new one. I can afford to buy them a new one that's theirs. And the Lord's like, give them yours. And I'm like, really? And then he did it for a long time over and over and over again. And then it kind of slowed down. And I'm like, oh, good. I get to keep this. And then he'd do it again. And I'm like, why do you, these things are important. They have
they
my
are.
Notes.
It's so hard too. Cause it, when you get a Bible and you get all your things highlighted and you know where stuff is. I remember as a kid, whenever I would get a new Bible, I would take my old one and I would line it up and go to all my favorite verses and make sure things were highlighted so I could find them.
And then you think, well, this is something I want to pass down to my kids or my grandkids.
Yeah, no, it's
you're
true.
So
no.
Good, Shay. You're such a good girl.
No, that was what I would do. And I would get all excited. But you got to make sure your certain verses are highlighted.
Exactly.
Like, these are your go-to.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And so then you got to give it away. The Lord has always given me the opportunity to say
give
yes
away my
too.
Bibles.
We've yeah, I know. Really, there's nothing that we haven't given away that just...
We get, you know, whenever we bought the big building in Joshua, we had been in the other building, I think, for 16 or 18 years. And though it was little and though it wasn't much, it was everything we had. And we went and found a church that was having church at the high school. Mm-hmm. And we invited them to our church. And we said, hey, we want you guys to move into this building and we'll give you all the chairs, which...
That was a big
deal.
That
was a big deal because we were a bring your own chair to church, you know, for a long time. And we gave away our PA system. Mm-hmm. We gave away all the toys in the children's church. Everything in that church, we gave it to another church as we were moving into the new building. And we've always known that giving is, it opens a door for heaven. And we also know it's a privilege.
It is a privilege.
Yeah. We know it's a great privilege to give. I mean, we feel more privileged when we give than when we don't. So, friends, I'm about to go behind the veil. And before we do, I want to tell you, Shay, whenever we go behind the veil and we have this private conversation for stage two and stage three and Lifetime People, we've been talking about how the Lord helped us tremendously in the midst of not having anything. I'm going to talk to you about how we survive great success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's a big deal.
I'm gonna talk to you when you go from having nothing to you have mm-hmm. to command millions and millions of dollars a year, and you also have to pass that test.
And mm-hmm. yeah,
and you go to okay, hey man, I got over $6 million in bills this year just in feeding kids all over the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, just in housing and feeding them. Okay, well, okay, you better survive that test. I'm gonna talk to you. How hard the hard things we've had to deal with. And it's not what you think.
Yeah.
It's not what you think. I can tell you what's hard about it. And I can also tell you, man, we passed that test. And you'll find out. So guys, join us behind the veil here mm-hmm. in just a minute.
Yeah. And listen, as we head behind the veil, if you're like wondering what that is, well, that means we're going to be exclusive on our ODX.TV platform. So if you're not a member there, head on over and join ODX.TV. As we said, you'll have exclusive chance to be a part of our ODX weekend coming up November 15th, which is also the red carpet premiere of our show, The Counter. But also, if you're a member of our ODX.TV community, and you can actually have access to our conferences. So anything that we stream online, you can, if you can't make it in person, you can stream it. And that's a really great way for you to stay connected. But also, when you join us there, that money that you give goes towards helping us do all the things that we do. And we're a frontlines ministry, whether we're saving kids from human trafficking in Mexico to babies in Africa to bringing flood relief in Tennessee. We truly are the tip of the spear. And when you sow into this ministry, that is what you are doing. You are sowing in to the front lines of what God is doing across the globe in and through us. And so as we go behind the veil, first of all, get your questions ready as well, because if we have time behind the veil, we're probably going to do a little question and answer with Pastor Troy and Leanna. And I love that we have both of them here. So you could ask questions to both of them, to either one of them, just specify it in your comment. But also, we're going to leave you with a video that I think is really special. It's one that we showed at our service over the weekend. And it's just a bunch of our church people, a bunch of our church family talking about how Open Door Church over the past 30 years has been an integral part in their life. I mean, you're going to hear it. It's a bunch of different testimonies, and it's just so special. And it's such a testament to the heart of this ministry. I think that's why I love it. You'll see all shapes and sizes, all colors, all ages. And this is the heart of our house of Open Door Church. So if you're watching today and you're like, I don't know how I ended up here, but who are these people and what are they about? You're about to see it. And then after this, we'll be on ODX.TV exclusively for our behind the veil portion of the show. So take a look at this.
In celebration of this anniversary, this church is awesome, loving,
powerful,
life-giving,
impactful.
Most amazing church I've ever been in my life.
I love Open Door Church.
I love Open Door Church.
I've been coming to Open Door Church since I was 15 years old. I've seen so many changes, and the changes just keep getting bigger and better and more awesome over the years.
25 years ago, Pastor Troy took me in as one of his own, and it gave me a new perspective of what a good father is. And by doing that, he showed me what a good father the Lord is to us.
Through Pastor Troy, God has turned me from a casual churchgoer to a drop-dead Jesus freak that hates what God hates and loves what God loves.
The love that you feel when you come to Open Door Ministry has truly been impact for us here.
So we were in a separation. And when we found this church, we were praying for restoration.
Without Open Doors and without the prayer that we received here, I don't know where we would have been.
When I lost my wife in 2023, Open Door showed me love and stood by me.
When I came to Open Door, I was a broken Christian. They've rescued me just by being here.
When I came into Open Door Church, I said, I'm home. I just felt like I was home.
My mom and I came when the war in Ukraine had started. It was just hard, like, walking through that, and then coming to Open Door has literally saved my life.
I describe Open Door as God is here.
Genuine.
Faithful.
So unbelievable.
Demographically diverse.
There's an anointing.
It's prophetic.
It's community.
Open Door is my tribe.
God has used Open Door Church just to give me a lot of different connections.
To give me wisdom.
To bring profound healing into my life, to allow me to serve again and feel fulfilled.
To be loyal and to stay true to who I am and to not waver.
To impact my life through the Open Door Young Adults Group. It's been incredible to be around a younger generation that has their hearts on fire for God.
The biggest way it's impacted me is definitely making friends in the youth group. I went to camp and it really changed me for the better.
Open Door Church is the heart of the Father.
It is a movement.
Sold out.
Jesus on earth is just action.
Mission-driven church.
Open Doors is heaven on earth.
So how has God used Open Door for me to get into the fight, stop sitting on the sidelines?
The biggest thing that attracted me to Open Door was the fact that this is the only place I've ever been that we actually do what the church is supposed to do.
We are not a spectator church. We are involved in Jesus. Where he sends, we will go.
It's helped me to know what hope is. You see it every day in the lives that we help save.
I had a prophetic dream about helping crying children, and I got to go to Belize, and it was amazing to see the rescuers and actually seeing our work come to fruition.
Open Door has made helping children possible.
It challenges me every time I show up. They walk the talk. They don't just talk the talk.
God has used Open Door Church to help me understand when Pastor Troy says, if we don't go, no one else is coming.
The people that have come here, they love God and they want to serve God. So I want to be a part of that.
Descriptive words for Open Door would be
inspiring,
servant,
love,
connected,
feeling like I belong,
joy,
on fire,
exciting,
it's practical,
peace,
it's family.
Open Door is a blessing to us.
I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy going to church here. It has opened my heart and my mind, and I have a closer walk with the Lord.
I love this place. The Spirit is all over this, and I'm coming alive in my Christian walk.
Open Door has been the conduit to draw me into a deeper place with Jesus.
Open Door Church has been a way to teach me how to hear the voice of the Lord on many waters.
We have found our tribe.
It has taught me how to hear the Holy Spirit, how to fight, how to be courageous and bold, even in my most weakest moments.
It's been healing for my body personally. I suffered with chronic pain for years until this year, and I've had breakthrough.
Open Door has helped me fulfill my calling, y'all.
Open Door is my church.
They teach the truth there. That's it. That's all there is to it.
I feel alive again, I feel alive again.